The following is a recording for Rafael Bora of iAdvise on Monday, August 18th, 2014 at 10 a.m. Central Time. This is the Mensura 2014 second quarter conference call. Good morning and welcome to Mensura's second quarter 2014 conference call. All lines have been placed on mute to prevent any background noise. After the presentation, we will open the floor for questions. At that time, instructions will be given as the procedure to follow if you would like to ask a question. It is now my pleasure to turn the call over to Rafael Bora of iAdvise Corporate Communications. Sir, you may begin.
Thank you, and good morning, everyone. I'm very pleased to welcome you to Mensura's second quarter 2014 earnings call. This morning, Mensura's senior management team will discuss the company's second quarter 2014 consolidated results per the press release distributed on Friday, August 15th. If you have not yet received a copy of the earnings release, please contact iAdvise in New York at 212-406-3693. I would like to remind you that today's call is for investors and analysts only. Therefore, questions from the media will not be taken at this time. If you are a member of the media, please contact the company directly. Please note that during this call, management comments may include forward-looking statements, which are subject to various conditions that may differ materially from actual results. We ask that you refer to the disclaimer as guidance on these matters. I will now introduce our speakers. Joining us from Lima, Peru, are Mr. Juan Luis Kruger, Chief Executive Officer, and Mr. Alvaro Ocio, Chief Financial Officer. At this time, Mr. Juan Luis Kruger will initiate his presentation. Mr. Kruger, please go ahead.
Thank you very much. Good morning, everyone. And thank you again for joining us for Mensura's conference call, in which we will review our performance for the second quarter and the first 6 months of 2014. I will begin with an overview of the major results of our business, and then discuss our results by operation and conclude with an update of the company's current projects before turning the call over to Alvaro, who will review the financial performance. At the end, we will open the floor for any questions that you may have. I'm going to start by saying that I'm very pleased with our second quarter and year-to-date results. During the quarter, Mensura continued demonstrating a remarkable improvement in financial results, mainly reflecting our focus on operational efficiency and working capital optimization. Moving on to individual operational mining performance, let's begin with Taboca in Brazil. Taboca reporting outstanding results compared with the same quarter last year. Production of both tin, niobium, and tantalum were up significantly, 56% and 21% respectively, as we managed to increase tin recoveries by 20% and niobium and tantalum recoveries by 32%. In addition, we increased throughput by 9% from 1.3 million tons in second quarter 2013 to 1.4 million tons of ore treated in second quarter 2014. As a result, Taboca reported for the second consecutive quarter a positive EBITDA. We continue with the studies to improve the mine infrastructure and expand the capacity at Taboca from 720 tons per hour to 800 tons per hour in a first phase. This capacity increase will allow us to increase production through higher recoveries, greater efficiencies, and achieve greater economies of scale, further reducing the cash cost per ton. Moving on to Peru, our San Rafael mine also had a strong quarter from a financial perspective, as we were able to optimize our working capital, significantly reducing our inventories of tin metal by 1,073 tons, thereby overcoming a slight decrease in production during the quarter. Production for the first 6 months of 2014 was 8% higher compared to the same period last year. We're currently evaluating treating Taboca's tin concentrate at the Pisco smelter, which has a spare capacity, lower operating costs, and higher recovery rates. Initial tests were conducted in the second quarter 2014. Results of these tests are in progress with the expectation of making a decision by the end of the year. Mensura continues investing in exploration at San Rafael, having performed 13,500 meters of in-mine exploration diamond drilling in the second quarter of 2014 versus 11,200 meters in the same quarter last year. These exploration efforts are reflected in San Rafael's cash cost performance. The preliminary results are encouraging towards extending our current life of mine. In all, San Rafael generated an adjusted EBITDA of $84.3 million during the second quarter of 2014, a 19% increase when compared to the second quarter 2013. Following on our mining operations in Peru, and in line with our mine plan, Pucamarca, our gold mine, experienced a decline in gold production from 28,694 ounces in the second quarter 2013 to 23,724 ounces in the second quarter 2014, mainly due to lower head grades at the Checocoyo deposit. In order to optimize the value of Pucamarca, and following a marginal investment, we increased Pucamarca's plant processing capacity from 14,000 tons per day to 17,500 tons per day during the second quarter. This increase in capacity is expected to fully impact results in the coming months, as it will allow us to partially offset the declining grades. We have also started studies to evaluate the feasibility of increasing Pucamarca's plant capacity to 21,000 tons per day. In terms of exploration expenses, we reported an 18% decrease during the second quarter of 2014 when compared to the same quarter last year. This is a result of our rebalancing efforts from greenfield activities and into new mine exploration. Also, during the second quarter of 2014, investments in the Marcobre project were lower than the same period last year. However, this is just circumstantial, as exploration for the first 6 months of 2014 were 37% higher than in the same period last year. In other words, it's a temporary difference. In summary, we're pleased with our continued delivery of the strong results, and we remain committed to optimizing our operations and delivering sustainable growth. This concludes my comments for today, and I will now turn the call over to Mr. Álvaro Osorio, our CFO, who will review the financial performance for the period.
Thank you, Juan Luis, and good morning to everyone. I will review the financial highlights for the second quarter of 2014, and then we will move on to the Q&A session. On a consolidated basis, revenues increased by 6% in the second quarter of 2014, reaching $324 million, while adjusted EBITDA increased by 33%, reaching $112 million. Once again, the results were driven by the strength of the mining division, which represented 85% of the total adjusted EBITDA. It is important to note that consolidated net sales were partially influenced by lower cement and concrete sales, mainly due to a contraction of the construction sector and domestic demand in Chile. Let's move to discuss the results for the mining segment, which, as you know, is our core business. During the second quarter 2014, net sales in the mining segment reached $241 million, an increase of 17% compared to the same period of 2013. The increase was mainly explained by an increase of 21% in the volume of tin salt, which reached 8,254 metric tons, and a 27% increase in niobium and tantalum alloy salt, as well as higher average tin market price, which increased by 11% compared to the second quarter of last year. As we mentioned in the previous quarters, the company will continue reducing inventories throughout the year in line with the company's working capital optimization plan. Gross profit in the mining sector reached $105 million, a 12% increase as a result of an increase in 17% in sales. This was partially offset by a 22% increase in cost of sales as a result of higher consumption of finished product inventories, higher production costs in San Rafael due to the continuation of the intensive exploration program, and the purchase of Pitinga tin concentrate as part of a pilot plan that was conducted during the second quarter of 2014. Administrative expenses during the second quarter of this year decreased by 11% compared to the same period of last year, mainly driven by a reduction of third-party services expenses as a result of less project and R&D consulting activities in the second quarter of this year. During the period, we decreased exploration expenses in the mining division by 18% as a result of a lower greenfield exploration expenses. However, for the first 6 months of this year, mining exploration expenses increased 37% due to investments in the Marcobre project and other exploration activities around our current operations in line with our brownfield strategy. The Marcobre project continues undergoing pre-feasibility studies and expects to continue with its drilling campaign currently underway. It is still early to provide further details about the project. We will update you as information becomes available once the study is completed. As a result of the previous figures, Mizzou reached an adjusted EBITDA of $95 million in the mining sector, an increase of 32% with respect to the prior year, representing a 40% EBITDA margin. It is important to note that excluding exploration expenses, Mizzou would have reported an adjusted EBITDA of close to $110 million, which is 23% higher than the same figure reported in 2014, representing a 46% EBITDA margin. This reflects the significant increase in both tin volume, sales, sold, and average tin market price. In terms of CapEx, the mining division invested close to $29 million in the second quarter of this year, mainly allocated to the construction of the second stage of a leaching pad in our Pucamarca gold mine and increased tailings dams capacity in San Rafael Apitinga, in line with the company's sustainability plan. In terms of net profit, our mining division reached $35 million, an increase of 25% when compared to the same period of last year. This increase was largely explained by higher sales and lower exploration expenses. In terms of liquidity, the mining segment ended the second quarter of 2014 with $539 million in debt and $510 million in cash. This resulted in a 0.1 times net to debt to EBITDA ratio. With that, I conclude my presentation. I want to reiterate that we will continue delivering on our commitment to make our operations more efficient to continue driving out costs and keep our financial structure strong to capitalize on future opportunities. This concludes our presentation. Thank you for your attention. Operator, please proceed to the Q&A session.
Thank you, sir. At this time, we will open the floor for questions. If you would like to ask a question, please press the star key followed by the one key on your touch-tone phone now. Questions will be taken in the order in which they are received. If at any time you would like to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star one. I'm sorry. If you want to remove yourself from the questioning queue, please press star two. Again, that is star one for questions. Our first question comes from Cesar Perez Novio from BTG Pactual.
Good morning, Alvaro and Juan Luis. Can you please provide some CapEx guidance for the rest of the year and also 2015? In addition, could we get some indication on what the exploration budget is for the remainder of 2014, and hopefully get some light on the status of your projects, in particularly the tailings facility and at San Rafael and also Marcobre. Thank you.
Thank you, Cesar, for the question. Unfortunately, as you know, we don't provide guidance and forward-looking numbers. Our CapEx for the quarter has been already reported by Alvaro and has been already reported as well in our press release. What I can elaborate a little bit more is on our exploration figures. As part of our strategic definition, we will always be spending around 1.5 to 2% of our revenues in exploration. We're really committed to basically our brownfields exploration projects. We are in the process of getting the permitting in place to start drilling in two targets which are very close to San Rafael. I would say between 30 to 40 kilometers around San Rafael, and that should be happening on Q3, and we have also invested heavily in this presentation. Results are looking encouraging, and we are expecting similar results as to the ones we achieved last year in terms of our exploration, in-mine exploration efforts at San Rafael. We have also started an exploration, in-mine exploration campaign in Pucamarca. We should be finishing our drilling there by Q3. It's still too early to give any results out, but they're also looking encouraging. In terms of our project portfolio, B2, which is the name of our tailings retreatment project at San Rafael, is right now, we just started in Q2, the initial commissioning of a pilot plant in order to start doing some pilot test work at industrial scale for what we hope can be proven as the optimal flow sheet or process design criteria. Still early days, and this is all part of a pre-feasibility study that we're working on. And obviously, as we evolve with our pilot plant results, we'll be in a better position to share some more specific results with you. But the project's moving along, and again, the pilot test has already started. In terms of Marcobre, we are still in the pre-feasibility stage. We made a definition during the second quarter to take the project into what we call a value engineering stage, whereby we're looking after what are the different options to further optimize the value of this asset and define what is the optimal configuration to deliver this project. In other words, define what's the optimal size of a mine, mining method, etc. We expect to finish the what we call the PFS selection phase by the end, probably early Q2 next year, as we also keep drilling to further improve the reliability and the confidence that we have in our resource model at Marcobre. So the project keeps running, and obviously it's a very strategic project for us. I hope that gives you enough color on the projects, and that answers your question, Cesar.
That's very good. If I may, just an additional question. On the expansion of plant capacity at Pucamarca to 21,000 tons per day, what qualitative milestones should be attained first for the incremental volumes to kick in? I'm talking about maybe permitting. If you can give us some color on that, that would be greatly appreciated.
Well, permitting is always a challenge nowadays, not only in Peru, everywhere in the world where you do mining. Having said that, we have been able to permit or to modify our operating permits to increase throughput from 14,000 tons per day to 17,500 tons per day already. And that was done, I would say, quite record time. We have already started working in both the technical viability or feasibility of further increasing capacity to 21,000 tons per day and also on the permitting requirements. We don't expect permitting to be a fatal flaw by any means on the project. It could just take a little bit more time depending on what the environmental instrument that we will have to modify. That's what we're working right now with the permitting team here in Lima.
All right. Thank you, gentlemen.
Thank you.
You're
next
welcome.
Question comes from Hector Colantes from Credit Corp Capital.
Hello, good morning, and thank you for taking my questions. Some of them were already answered. I was about to say, what would you say could be for instance, for Pucamarca, it has been already said, but I remember that at first the original guidance, in a way, hello?
Yeah,
you're there. Okay, thank you. The original guidance was like about an output on 75,000 gold ounces at the very beginning. Then it was actually a good surprise for us to see the 100,000 ounces more than that at the beginning. I'm just curious on not perhaps a guidance, but as a long-term aim. Would you target with these expansions and more exploration to see Pucamarca as a 100,000 ounces asset? That's my first question. Perhaps we can go with it and then the others, or shall I say it all now?
Thank you for the question, Hector. Okay. Obviously, what we are doing right now is just working on delivering our mine plan, as head grades decline because of the structure, the geological structure of this ore body, the deeper you get into the open pit, the lower grades you have, and that was already incorporated in our mine plan. The figure you just mentioned of 75,000 ounces was an average life of mine production figure that we released at the beginning of the project. Mm-hmm. By increasing throughput capacity, what we aim is to partially offset the declining rates, trying to have a more stable production profile of the mine in the coming years. I don't expect a significant increase in mine production on average life of mine. What we're trying to do is perhaps optimizing the net present value of the future cash flows of this asset by trying to, in the initial years, increase a little bit above that number, the capacity, and that's what we're doing.
Thank you. If I may please have another question, I was just wondering, San Rafael exploration, because as we have been just saying, grades might be decreasing because of the natural, developing of the mine. But as you have been looking for more exploration and searching areas that were not a target before, I was just curious on how confident you are on it with either maintaining these grades or perhaps even finding larger ones in that area around San Rafael.
Well, we have to bear in mind that San Rafael has been the richest tin mine in the world for many, many years, meaning by that the highest grade tin mine in the world, and it continues to be so. We expect San Rafael to continue to be the highest grade tin mine in the world in the future, but grades will decline because our current interpretation of the mine indicates that we are being able to increase the tonnage of ore in our resources, but at slightly lower grades than what we had reported before. In other words, we feel confident that we will be able to extend the life of the mine, at least by replenishing the depletion every year, but at grades that are going to be probably a little bit lower than what we are getting or that what we already had in our reserve and resource declaration before.
Thank you very much. And just my last question is related with Pitinga. I was saying it seems to be that the output is being optimized, and now it is actually encouraging to see a positive EBITDA contribution from that mine recently. And I was just thinking on what are your plans on Pitinga. Could you give us some more details on it, please?
Yes, as I alluded before, what we have done so far is without really making a significant capital investment in terms of changing the industrial infrastructure that we have at the mine, we have been really optimizing what we have and what we have there. In other words, we are trying to get the most money out of and the most production out of the current asset base. That is clearly showing a positive track record and very positive results. However, that has a limit. And what we are working right now is on a feasibility study to increase our industrial capacity, basically increase throughput, mainly niobium and tantalum throughput, through building a new flotation facility right next to the current milling and crushing facility at the mine. That will be very important to us because it will allow us to increase recoveries of niobium and tantalum significantly, and also to optimize the whole operational setting. In other words, increase operational efficiency significantly at Pitinga when all of this is built. We will also slightly increase throughput, going up from 720 tons per hour of current nameplate capacity to 800 tons per hour. And all of that right now is in a process where we are studying it. We're working on the engineering, the design, and a feasibility study, which we hope to complete in the coming 6 to 9 months. That's the timeline for finishing these studies.
Thank you very much. That's been very helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Again, if you would like to ask a question, please press star 1 at this time. Again, that is star 1 for questions. Our next question comes from Alberto Arriger from Compass Bank. I'm sorry, from Compass Group.
Hi. Thank you for taking my question. Regarding the Pucamarca CAPEX for second quarter 2014, of the $8.5 million spent, how much of that was the actual increase in plant capacity, and how much of that was due to the initiation of the construction of the second stage of the leaching pad? And I asked to try to gauge how much CAPEX we could expect on the increase of the plant capacity to 21,000. And if you could also give us a timeline for finalization of the second stage of the leaching pad, and if it is related, and if the capacity of that leaching pad is already considering the expense of 21,000 tons on the plant. Thank you.
Thank you, Kiko. In terms of the Pucamarca CAPEX, most of the reported figures correspond to the leach pad expansion, what we call phase two of the pad expansion. That work has been concluded by the end of the quarter. The leach pad construction is pretty much over, so you will not expect any more CAPEX on the leach pad construction going forward. This leach pad gives us capacity all the way to 2018 if we remain at the current throughput, and if we go to 21,000 tons per day, it gives us capacity until 2017. Obviously, for the life of mine, what we need to do is we need to build another, what we call phase three pad, but that will only kick in around the dates that I have mentioned to you, depending on what capacity we get to. In terms of the expansion, the CAPEX to expand our plant throughput to 17,500 was below $2 million, so it was practically negligible compared to the value that it's creating, and it's a very low payback period investment for us. I don't know if that responds to your question.
Yes, that's perfect. Thank you.
Thank you.
At this time, I have no further questions, so I'd like to turn the call back over to Mr. Kruger for closing remarks.
So just to thank everyone for being joining us today at this conference call, and we will be in touch with you hopefully in a few months to disclose and discuss the Q3 results, which we hope to continue on the same trend that we have been reporting so far this year. Thank you again, and we'll be in touch in the coming months.
Thank you, ladies and gentlemen. This now concludes today's conference. You may now disconnect.